On the final day of the trial, the weather outside the Old Bailey was a typically British combination of cold and overcast. Not particularly suitable for a celebration, Rinosuke thought, as he glanced out of the defense lobby windows. Not that it would stop him from goading the others into a nice dinner. He deserved it. The trial had, as usual, become vastly more convoluted than he'd expected. This time it was thanks to a few pieces of suddenly procured evidence and two lookalikes, both of whom who'd coincidentally lurked at the scene of the crime. It turned out that the true culprit hadn't even been on the premises, and had used a poisoned dart stolen from a museum in Scotland. The defendant, it turned out, had committed a crime as well. Not that a stolen roast turkey was comparable to murder in the second degree, but the rather bloodthirsty jury had still needed to be convinced. All considered, it had given Rinosuke no small relief when, after three exhausting days, the judge finally admitted that the evidence pointed his way. Or rather, his partner's way. From now through the next few months, Rinosuke would remain Kazuma's co-counsel, not from a lack of skill but to learn the few legal technicalities for which his partner had attended university. It made sense enough. It wasn't as though he'd studied law. If Kazuma had a superiority complex that he was the primary defense attorney at the fledgling firm, he was doing well to keep it under wraps. Staring at the clouds again, Rinosuke turned to face Kazuma, who wore his typical court ensemble and a roguish grin. Kazuma looked around the room briefly before approaching him and, after a simmering glance, leaned in for a kiss, which Rinosuke was happy to reciprocate. "I suppose so," Rinosuke muttered after they parted. For a moment, he felt self-conscious that a passerby might have peered into the lobby window and caught them in an embrace. Never mind that the weather outside was too cloudy to make anything particularly visible, nor that the courthouse lobbies were far from the sidewalks for the purpose of confidentiality. "The case is over," Kazuma said, and cradled Rinosuke's cheek with his hand. "Stop thinking so much." Rinosuke nodded and noticed, in his periphery, movement coming from the lobby entrance. In his surprise, he only managed half a step away from his partner before the door fully opened and the imposing silhouette of Baroque van Zieks shadowed the entryway. Kazuma followed his glance and shot the prosecutor a devil-may-care smile. Baroque looked to the side and coughed into his sleeve. "Pray forgive the discourtesy," he said. "I had not realized that I was interrupting." "It's all right," Rinosuke offered. "The prosecution shows himself in the defense lobby," Kazuma said. "Seems we are both surprised." Unlike in the courtroom, Baroque appeared to struggle to meet Kazuma's gaze. "I simply wanted to congratulate both of you on your victory." "Thank you," Rinosuke said. "Are you, feeling well?" Baroque started and briefly looked to the ground before regaining himself. "I am fine." Rinosuke shared a glance with his partner, who raised an eyebrow. "If you say so," Kazuma muttered. "Yours was an impressive bit of reasoning," Baroque continued. "I hadn't considered the use of a dissoluble poison dart." "It was necessary," Kazuma said. "Is it not the point of the court to come to the truth?" "I admire your idealism," Baroque replied. A moment passed before Kazuma spoke, sounding exasperated. "Did you come in just to spread your obvious misery? You lost, but in the service of justice. Lick your wounds and prepare for the next one." "That's not why," Baroque said, and winced, a flicker of regret crossing his expression. Rinosuke saw the flash of pursuit in his partner's eyes. "So you admit that you're unhappy," Kazuma said. Baroque sighed, again defeated. "I will not deny it now, but it's not a mood born of my defeat." "Then why?" Rinosuke asked. Baroque stayed quiet. Kazuma paced in front of the windows. "Prosecutor," he said, straightening, resolute, "join us for dinner." Baroque was taller and more imposing than Kazuma, but Rinosuke wouldn't have known it from the lord's conflicted, searching expression, contrasted with the intensity of his partner's gaze. "Or perhaps we could join you," Rinosuke interrupted, "if it wouldn't be too much trouble." Baroque's eyes flickered to something more certain. "Very well," he said. "I will send a carriage at sunset." He nodded and strode out of the room, so assured in his movements that Rinosuke might have forgotten that he'd been so somber moments before, had his partner not held such a pensive demeanor. When the conversation caught up with him, Rinosuke startled a little and stared at Kazuma. "You asked the prosecution to join us for dinner?" he asked. "Right after we win a case. I had, expected us to go to dinner by ourselves, or with Mr. Sholmes and Iris?" "You offered to join him," Kazuma retorted with a leer. "So I hardly think you have a leg to stand on." "He seemed unsure, and rather lonely, I suppose." "Was that what it was?" Rinosuke shrugged. "Possibly. He might have caught us, since he looked embarrassed when he arrived, and he accepted the offer to dine with him in the end." Kazuma hummed noncommittally and then scrunched his eyebrows. "Do you think he understood all that we were offering?"
"Probably, yes, asking him so directly to join us. You've never been particularly subtle."
Kazuma winced, but, true to form, recovered immediately.
"What's done is done," he declared, and clapped Rinosuke on the shoulder before leaving the courthouse.
The driver kept to himself at the front of the carriage. The partitions between them, combined with the clopping of the horse's hoofs, contributed to a surprising degree of privacy in the passenger compartment. Rinosuke outstretched his hand, and Kazuma took it, rubbing the knuckles gently.
"So," he said, "how should we go about this? You're asking me. It's a collaborative effort, no?"
"Not really," Rinosuke replied. "It's up to him whether anything happens at all."
"Obviously," Kazuma snorted. "I'm assuming he's interested. Do we make a move before dinner, you think? Right away?"
Rinosuke hesitated. Up to now, acting on his attraction to Baroque had been a distant dream. Even as his partner spoke, it didn't feel likely for their evening to hold anything other than an overly formal dinner. Kazuma looked at him, worry in his eyes.
"We don't have to do anything, of course."
"Let's move slowly," Rinosuke said. "Let him make the first decision." "Very well. I think it's likely that nothing happens then. The culture of this place is rather repressed." Rinosuke hummed. Kazuma was probably right, but there were some advantages to their position when it came to earning Baroque's trust. It mattered that this would be his residence and his employees. It was relevant that he had nothing to gain from their friendship and nothing to lose from their enmity. And, though the Lord was polite, he did not seem the type to cave to social obligation. Nothing would stop Baroque from removing them from the premises, should he be embarrassed by their offer.
"I don't see much harm in asking," he said. "After dinner, though."
Kazuma smiled. "I figured you'd respect a decent meal. It's settled." Rinosuke nodded and stared out the carriage window for the remainder of their journey. When they arrived, he took a breath, hoping to calm his suddenly racing heart. Kazuma helped him out of the carriage, and together they approached the manor's landing. Baroque's butler informed them that Mr. Van Zeeks was waiting in the dining room, gestured primly down the hallway, and started towards the sitting room fireplace. Baroque was, indeed, waiting for them, and sipped wine at the end of a clothed table. He wore a white evening shirt under a knitted vest, an ensemble that was well suited to the manor's chilly interior, but was rather disarming in its softness. He gestured to the table in front of him, which held two serving plates, roasted duck on a bed of vegetables, and artfully seasoned potatoes.
"Welcome," he said.
"This is quite a feast," Rinosuke said, before wincing at his bluntness. Such a statement would be rude if the meal was more or less the Lord's standard fare. Thankfully, Baroque nodded.
"Forgive the extravagance," he muttered. "I was unsure of your expectations."
"I wouldn't worry," Kazuma replied, looking Baroque in the eye. "Rinosuke will eat anything in front of him, and my eating habits are likewise, flexible."
"Is that so?" Baroque said.
"Unlike most, I don't care at all for chicken, but there's none here now, is there? I see a delectable roasted duck," Kazuma said, spearing a few tender bits of the meat while, somehow, maintaining his gaze. "And warm, satisfying potatoes." Baroque's eyes widened, and he quickly turned away to take another sip of wine.
I will pass on your compliments to the chef, he muttered, as Rinosuke filled his plate and then plated his own meal. Rinosuke took a few bites. The roast duck was decadently seasoned and tender enough to dissolve on his tongue, and, with the buttery, rich potatoes, more than satisfied his hunger. "Would you care for some wine?" Barak asked. "From one of your hallowed chalices," Kazuma taunted. "Don't mind if I do." "Kazuma," Rinosuke hissed to him. His partner's open flirtatiousness was bad enough. "Don't be rude. He's feeding us, isn't he?" "I'm breaking the tension," Kazuma replied. "This is going nowhere." "And that's fine," Rinosuke said. "We agreed not to push him." Barak gazed at Kazuma, then at Rinosuke. It was also rude to converse in a language unknown to all present, of course, but the Lord said nothing on the subject. He still held a downturned expression. Perhaps Kazuma was right to lighten the mood. A few languorous minutes passed. Barak gestured for Kazuma and Rinosuke to take their glasses to the sitting room. It was part of the pomp and circumstance of the rich, another opportunity to show off centerpieces and wealth. Not that Rinosuke minded, after he lounged against a rather comfortable settee, and especially not after Kazuma joined him, leaning inward and resting his head on Rinosuke's shoulder. They were too close for plausible deniability. Not that it mattered after the glass and sum of Cabernet weaving its way through him. Between the wine, Kazuma's warmth against him, the fire heating the room, and the food settling in his stomach, sleep proved too persuasive to deny. Rinosuke woke to a toasty room and the sound of conversation. "Scales of Ma'at," Barak concluded. "The judge would be a more apt comparison," Kazuma replied, "and I doubt that he feels this tortured about his decisions." "He's irrelevant to the discussion," Barak replied, and then noticed Rinosuke shifting to a sitting position on the settee. "Good evening, Naruhodo. Glad you could join us." "I'm approaching the reason why he's upset." Kazuma spared Rinosuke a glance before meeting the Lord's expression. "Ennui about his prosecutorial duties, condemning people to jail and death and such." Barak glared at him. Rinosuke suppressed a shiver. Even directed at another, the heat in his gaze was beyond simple anger. "You speak so lightly. Thank your gods that you have yet to make such a decision." Kazuma stood from the settee and faced him. "Thank yours that we waste your efforts!" Rinosuke got to his feet and put a hand on Kazuma's shoulder, guiding him backwards a step. "What I wonder," he interjected, "is why this case is affecting you so much. Surely capital punishment has been a possibility before." Barak moved his gaze to Rinosuke and nodded. "It comes down to the specifics of the trial. If he and you had not opposed me so competently, and had not discovered the particular pieces of evidence, I would have condemned a starving woman to years of imprisonment for the crime of sating her hunger." It took a little while for Rinosuke to think of a reply. "In your defense," he said, "you truly had thought that she'd murdered the man." "Right," Kazuma added. "Such a crime would better justify the sentence. But you're missing the point." He appeared to have calmed from his earlier passion, so Rinosuke reseated himself on the sofa, and Kazuma followed. Barak leaned against his own chair and took another swill of wine. "Pray tell me, Asogi," he muttered after swallowing. "What point am I missing?" "You're not the only one in the courtroom," Kazuma replied. "It's self-aggrandizing to claim that only the prosecution is responsible for a wrongful ruling." Barak's eyes flickered with surprise and with the reflections of the hearth. "What?" "It's selfish," Kazuma reiterated. "You're implying that the defense has no claim to justice, or injustice, as the case may be." "I don't believe such a thing." "Then don't take more than your share of the blame," Kazuma replied. "There wasn't even blame to be had," Rinosuke interrupted. "Unless, of course, you think the ruling was unfair."
"Not at all."
"Perhaps, then, you should stop dealing with hypothetical examples," Rinosuke said, "and take pride in the result of the case."
"A case for which I was on the wrong side," Barak said.
Immediately, Kazuma groaned in exasperation. We're supposed to work together, the defense and prosecution, justice through conflict.
I wish more people agreed,
Baruch replied somberly. The law is so often merely a battle of rhetoric.
A moment passed.
Well, Runosuke said, breaking the silence, at least we seem to agree.
Baruch sighed and nodded. That is true.
Kazuma stood and approached Baruch, who rose to meet him. He rested a hand on the lord's shoulder, and when he spoke, his voice was low and simmering.
We do indeed. Let your reservations pass, at least for the evening.
Baruch's shirt wrinkled where Kazuma strengthened his grip on his shoulder. Rinosuke didn't have the position to see Kazuma's expression, but he watched Baruch's and saw how his demeanor opened in realization and the question in his eyes. He answered with a nod. The next few seconds, where no one moved and the only sound was the fireplace log crackling on the hearth, stretched out like several agonizing minutes. Baruch, thankfully, broke the stillness with a gesture beckoning towards the master bedroom. The room was magnificent, with silver oil lamps casting an orange glow on the walls and the lavish curtains letting in streaks of moonlight. The sky had cleared considerably from its afternoon fog. Not that Rinosuke spent much time admiring the decor when, in front of him, Kazuma unbuttoned his coat with nary a fumble, and, to the side, the lord perched on his bed, alternating curious glances between them. He'd doffed his clothes, though Rinosuke had no idea when he'd done so. He tried not to stare. Undoubtedly, Baruch would assume that he was appraising his scars, the damage he'd sustained from so many small battles. The truth was simpler. Rinosuke was staring at his chest and torso because the man was powerful, and his body reflected it.
Come here, Baruch said, gesturing to Rinosuke.
Lucky, Kazuma muttered with a cheeky grin. Rinosuke approached the bed. Baruch leaned forwards to undo the buttons on his coat. You don't have to... Rinosuke trailed off, embarrassed at the discrepancy. Both Baruch and Kazuma had removed their own clothes, but enjoying the man's strong hands against his chest and waist.
Don't I?
Nervous? Kazuma asked. He'd taken off his remaining clothes and moved to the other side of the bed.
You froze for a moment.
I did.
Baruch nodded. After you passed the threshold, yes.
I was admiring your room, Rinosuke said. And your physique. Kazuma laughed and... Blast, he'd spoken that last bit aloud.
Thank you, Baruch said, quietly, like he didn't field many compliments. You have my permission to continue your admiration.
He moved to the middle of the bed next to Kazuma and rested his neck against the headboard. His expression, dark with anticipation, lingered on Rinosuke as he beckoned towards the remaining space. Rinosuke stammered. He was rather cold without his clothes on, or perhaps he was too hot since he was sweating. But that could have been a nervous sweat, assuredly.
Partner, Kazuma said, gently enough to unwind the tension in Rinosuke's body and refocus his thoughts.
It was far from the first time Kazuma had grounded him with nothing more than a word in his trust. Rinosuke felt his heart rate slow, gathered himself fully, and joined them both on the bed.
Baruch spoke to Kazuma. Forgive my curiosity. I had wanted to ask earlier about your...
He paused.
You call each other partners?
We do. Though Rinosuke couldn't see him from his position, he heard the mote of laughter in Kazuma's voice.
Ah, Baruch replied.
Prosecutor, Kazuma said, if you have a more pointed question, by all means, ask.
Baruch turned to Rinosuke. Since you insist, I have to admit that I'm unsure of your intentions with me, if the both of you are indeed together.
Rinosuke met Kazuma's resolute gaze and nodded before turning back to Baruch.
Our intentions are only to show you a pleasant evening, he said, and to help with your apparent lonesomeness.
I am not, Baruch started and sighed. Very well.
You aren't very well, Kazuma said. To me, you look quite vigorous.
The energy in the room shifted, a new lasciviousness permeating the air. Rinosuke watched Barak take an unsteady breath before Kazuma, graceful as a deer in his movements, straddled and kissed him with all of his glorious vitality. He couldn't quite believe it. His partner, dashing, electric, drawing out wonderful gasps from the most intimidating man he'd ever met. Not that he could fault Barak. He'd been on the receiving end of Kazuma's attentions enough to know that there was no stopping him when he was determined to pleasure. After a few moments, though, there was no more denying what was in front of him, and the remainder of Rinosuke's trepidation morphed to curiosity. He moved close enough to caress Barak's ribs and chest, close enough to notice that the Lord was trembling. "Hey," he said, "slow down." He pulled Kazuma backwards by his shoulder. Kazuma let up, wearing a petulant expression, but Rinosuke ignored him to focus on Barak, who was breathing rather heavily. "Barak." The Lord's misty-eyed expression was startling with its intensity, but difficult to decipher. "I beg your pardon," he muttered, quiet and gruff. "This is rather..." He paused to collect himself. "This is rather unusual for me. I fear my body cannot take it." "What?" Kazuma asked, eyes widening. Apparently he'd been too focused to recognize how much he was affecting the man. "But I thought..." "Kazuma," Rinosuke chided, "listen to him." "But I was so sure he was enjoying it. And he's so strong, of course he could take it." "It's his nerves, not his strength. He's not used to physical touch, and you overwhelmed him. Or rather, we did, but mostly you." "I see." Kazuma switched back to English to address Barak, who was now under better control of himself. If anything, he now seemed more aroused, his eyes dark and skin flushed. "I apologize for getting carried away. Would you, still like to proceed? I would happily conduct myself at a slower pace." "Your apology and suggestion are both appreciated," Barak said. He looked, briefly, between Kazuma and Rinosuke, meeting neither gaze. "If I may, I have another request." "By all means," Kazuma replied. "If it is more natural to speak to each other in your home tongue," he muttered, "I do not mind." "I only speak to Kazuma in Japanese when it might embarrass him otherwise," Rinosuke said quickly. "And in private, of course," Kazuma added. "But it's no trouble at all to stay in English." "You misunderstand," Barak said, but offered no explanation. Rinosuke furrowed his brow. There weren't many ways to interpret. "Ah, I see," he said, and smiled. Kazuma looked at him and raised an eyebrow. "He enjoys it," Rinosuke elaborated, "when we speak our language." "Really? Maybe he likes the sound, or perhaps it's because he can't understand, but... yes, I'm sure of it." "Interesting." Kazuma looked back at Barak, who continued to evade eye contact. "How should we continue, do you think?" "I liked what you were doing," Rinosuke said, "but perhaps I'd try it this time." "You do have a gentler touch," Kazuma conceded. "I'll sit by and watch." "You'll have your fun." "I should hope so, since I wasn't finished." Kazuma punctuated his statement by levying a determined smile at Barak, who may not have understood the letter of the statement, but definitely felt its spirit, and raised his eyebrows curiously as Kazuma left the bed to a nearby padded chair. Rinosuke returned his hands to Barak's chest, exploring his skin slowly, gently, dare he imagine lovingly. It would be so if the Lord were Kazuma and not the third in the room. There were some lines too well drawn to cross. "You mutter to yourself." Barak spoke so quietly Rinosuke thought he'd imagined it. "An unfortunate habit." "The lines about which you speak can be ignored," Barak continued. "Those who would dare to stop us would never know." The expression in his eyes was the bleeding of his heart. Instantly, Rinosuke knew he would never forget it. He didn't know how to answer. Nor could he, if he so knew. A well of emotion stifled any nascent words in his throat. "What are you two whispering about?" Kazuma asked from the chair.
Rinosuke ran his hand along Barak's ribs again and watched him shiver. Rinosuke? He's wondering what we're discussing, Rinosuke said to Barak, and tried not to feel overwhelmed himself. I see. Tell him what you wish. Rinosuke turned towards his partner. Let's talk it through in the morning, all three of us. All? Kazuma furrowed his eyebrows and looked rather flummoxed. It was endearing, but Rinosuke was too anxious to appreciate it. What would such a relationship look like? Surely nothing public. Even himself and Kazuma had occasionally received odd looks as a pair. Or perhaps it would come across as that curious phenomenon of the dapper gentleman and their so-called good friend. Very well, Kazuma said, and then, with a pointed look, go back to him before he loses interest. Rinosuke nodded, thankful for the excuse to postpone dwelling on something so dense and unpleasant as social politics. He returned to Barak, who seemed more relaxed now that he's made his statement. Barak felt more relaxed, too, the muscles in his chest, back, thighs easing into the mattress as Rinosuke worked him with a massage. The lord's gasps turned to pleasured moans, loud enough that Rinosuke imagined he'd lost his focus somewhere in the simple pleasure of being touched. He himself had lost attention admiring the man's body as he kneaded it, how the muscles interweaved and shifted. A Greek statue. You flatter me, Barak breathed. I hadn't intended to, but it's true, I suppose. The padded chair squeaked a little. When Rinosuke turned to look, Kazuma was palming himself, his attention hawk-focused on Barak. Don't. You'll finish early, Rinosuke chided. Then move faster. I can't listen to him like this. Barak grabbed Rinosuke's arm in a strong, startling motion. That will suffice, he gasped. Oh, okay, Rinosuke said, and tried not to stare at Barak's prick and at Kazuma, who stilled his own motions. If the lord wanted to stop now, that was his right. Barak stood from the bed, and he should not have remained so intimidating without his clothes, to say nothing of his full flush and erection. Kazuma was undaunted and rose in challenge from the chair. Something unspoken passed between them, a contest of wills, or, perhaps, an agreement. Either way, it lasted only a moment before Kazuma averted his eyes and sunk to his knees. Barak smiled grimly and gestured back towards an astonished Rinosuke. Take your pleasure, he commanded. Rinosuke couldn't stop looking at Kazuma, who was so seldom humbled, and who now glanced, abashed, to the side. A subtle smirk indicated the embarrassment was an act. That was for the better. A layer of true humiliation was too much new territory for one evening, but still surprising. He hadn't considered that his partner might enjoy this type of submission, and they had yet to address it directly. Rinosuke was under no pretense that he was intimidating. Kazuma might have reserved such a preference out of consideration. Regardless, he certainly seemed excited now. Kazuma's docility was not contagious exactly, but provoked in Rinosuke the opposite impulse, a possessive urge he hadn't thought he held. When he approached his partner, it was with the intent of a man who knew what was his. He pressed Kazuma into the protruding seat cushion, grabbed his cheek, and forced his gaze upwards. Naturally dominant or otherwise, he wasn't immune to the energy in the room. Oh, Kazuma sighed. You... Tell me, Rinosuke growled. We should do this more often. I like looking up at you. I like looking down at you. It's where you should be. Kazuma gasped. The fiery humiliation in his eyes changed in a single, shattered instant to pure lust. What did you say? Barak muttered. He'd moved to the edge of his bed, riveted to Kazuma, and slowly kneaded himself. Rinosuke ignored him. It seemed more that Barak was enjoying the sound of the words over their meaning, and refocused on his partner, who wasted no more time before taking Rinosuke into his mouth. It was his own turn to breathe out a few stifled moans. He noticed, through the pleasure, that Barak echoed him. It was good that the lord was enjoying the show. And that was where his thoughts were subsumed by a repeated, more, more, as Kazuma focused his efforts. In, out, in, out. He replaced his mouth with his hand. Faster, harder. More, more, yes, and the wave in Rinosuke crested, as strong as a shove to the stomach. A groan made its way out of his throat, though he was too far gone by leagues to care. But alas, the pleasure was fleeting and over too quickly. Rinosuke thanked Kazuma and, after a passing effort to clean himself, returned to the bed, a touch dazed. Whatever happened next, he'd be content to watch. Kazuma rose from his kneeling position and gazed at Barak, who stared back at him. It was a moment of ambiguity, where both searched the other for an indication of how to progress, and apparently failed to find one. Not that the moment was awkward. Both were too riled with unresolved passion. The question was not a matter of if, but how. Kazuma asked, "Do you have a preference?" at the same time as Barak stated, "You seemed to enjoy your position." Kazuma chuckled. "I did, and I'm satisfied either way." "I'm not sure I am the same," Barak said. "From experience, I suspect it will be easier on my nerves for me to initiate, and I much enjoyed watching you." "Is that right?" Kazuma purred. He stepped closer to Barak, who stood from the bed and met his lips in a kiss. A sweet, rather beautiful one to witness, if Rinosuke could be so bold to admit it. Kazuma gently rising to graze Barak, whose expression held longing so raw it was hard to bear. Rinosuke had seen that gaze on Barak a few moments ago, after he'd mentioned crossing social boundaries, the lines of a relationship between three. The thought pleased him more than it had earlier, perhaps a consequence of satiation, or after observing Barak and Kazuma together. Before this evening, he hadn't had the pleasure to witness his partner from any perspective but a participant's, and could see through unclouded eyes the man's sheer vitality. Kazuma thrummed with it, how he moved so decisively, how he pulled Barak towards him to grind against his thigh. "That's enough," Barak said, his eyes sharp and dangerous. He was ice to Kazuma's fire, a magnificent display of contrast. Rinosuke didn't put it past the law that it was intentional. To be a prosecutor, after all, one had to put on a show. Kazuma stilled and looked at Barak expectantly. "Rinosuke," Barak said, maintaining eye contact with Kazuma, "allow us room on the bed." Rinosuke murmured agreement and took his place on the chair. "It appears that Kazuma still doesn't understand his position," Barak continued, his voice even, but holding the underlying command that only came to practiced authority. With a devilish grin, Kazuma played along. "I don't know what you mean." "Counsel," Barak growled, and oh, how Rinosuke wished he could carry the same resonance in his voice, if only to hear it whenever he wanted. Kazuma somehow held onto a smirk. "I don't know what you mean, counsel." "Better," Barak said. "Now come to the bed. I will teach you your place." "What if I don't want to?" Kazuma retorted. Rinosuke stilled. His heart was racing. "I did not give you a choice," Barak replied. With motions too swift and fluid for Rinosuke to process, he shoved Kazuma towards the bed and pinned him to the mattress. Rinosuke peered over Barak's shoulders to catch his partner's eyes, jet black with lust, and to hear his groan. Debauched, and the Lord hadn't touched him yet. He couldn't deny feeling a pang of envy, but couldn't decide if it was directed towards the Lord. To have that pull on another was a power of its own, or the one at his mercy. "Stay," Barak ordered, and shifted from his domineering position to procure and anoint his hands with a substance from his nightstand. Kazuma sat up against the headboard to watch. "Lie back down," Barak said, "or I shall make you." Kazuma stayed seated and gazed at him defiantly. Still playing his game, Rinosuke supposed. "Submit, damn you!" the Lord shouted, harsh and sudden enough that Rinosuke jumped from his chair, even as a powerful thrill raced through him. Barak placed both hands at Kazuma's shoulders. His oil-shined fingers were so close to Kazuma's throat that Rinosuke saw the split second where his partner's survival instinct assessed the danger, sobered his expression, determined not to resist. Barak forced Kazuma supine. One of his hands was now on his partner's throat, Rinosuke saw. Without any apparent pressure, but Kazuma nevertheless looked enraptured, his eyes closed, the flush on his face creeping down to his chest. "We haven't," Rinosuke muttered. "We haven't done anything like this before."
"That is obvious," Baruch replied, glowering at Kazuma and breathing heavily. "Though it is also clear to me that he enjoys it."
Kazuma nodded.
"I am enjoying it," he said, unimpeded. It seemed Baruch had only threatened to strangle him. "Getting close. Tell him to decide whether or not to use his cock."
"I'll say no such thing," Rinosuke replied, affronted. "Tell him yourself."
Baruch groaned. "You do not know how you sound to me," he said. "It is some kind of witchcraft, your language."
Rinosuke couldn't help the chuckle that left him.
"Do not laugh at me," Baruch said. "I have no control of this matter."
"Maybe if Kazuma repeated himself, you would find it funny too."
"I see," Baruch replied. "Speak." He stared at Kazuma, who returned the gaze as fiercely as it was possible to, while nude and with one hand over his neck.
"Decide if you want to use your conch before I finish outright," Kazuma hissed.
"Counsel."
Baruch did indeed laugh at that, an evil sound that set lightning up Rinosuke's back.
"You're close already, from this."
Kazuma nodded.
"Very well," Baruch said. He reapplied oil to his fingers before brusquely inserting two of them into Kazuma, who sighed.
"It's about time," he muttered. Baruch pumped him and replaced his fingers with his cock, and then Kazuma didn't say much at all. The Lord pounded into him, powerful and inexorable as the tide. With a keen, Kazuma finished, and Baruch followed soon after, a choked groan on his lips. A few moments later, all were clean and laid together on the bed. Baruch rested his arms across both Kazuma and Rinosuke, who listened to the sound of his sleep-slow breathing.
"Partner," Kazuma whispered from the other side of the bed, "what did you want to talk about?"
Rinosuke waited for a moment to reply, lost in thought. It didn't feel so relevant now, what they would call this configuration, so long as it continued. An adventure such as this evening's was all well and good, but tragic if it only happened once, compared to a lifetime of what could be. And not merely the physicality, it felt as though the conflicts of the world were much smaller when approached with company. He envisioned, briefly, himself, Kazuma, and Baruch, through adversity, through conflicting opinion, through loneliness and painful pasts.
"I believe you can guess," he said. "But let's wait until the morning, when we can speak of this matter together."